Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O, W, double E, ooh wee, looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe, been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how, we gonna break it down, we gonna break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what? Because I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy AJ Dicko. AJ Dicko. 3 times. And I'm big to them. I don't do no physical harm to them. Mm-hmm. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. Well, see, I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah, yeah. See, I thought that, yeah, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and he's, you know, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music
thank you,
is.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, this is T-A-Z of another T-A-Z Productions. This is A-T-A-Z-P live on Blog Talk Radio with your host, T-A-Z. I got co-host, Tess Wigginton in here. Tess, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, too. And also, my first guest today, Carl T. Smith, good friend of the show. He's been on a few times, man. Hey, you sitting in your regular seat tonight. You've been here a few times, haven't you, Carl?
Yes, that's right. I sure have.
Carl is a good friend of mine. I met him. I'm going to tell a story. I met you on Yahoo through our good friend, Rolanda 700, who's a spoken word artist.
One of my
good friends. And we opened a Yahoo chat room with just the three of us in there. You played a little your music. Then Ro played a little her music, which I happened to produce. And then I played some of my music. And we were just going back and forth in that chat room. I want to say that was 2006, man, 2005, somewhere around there. That is a long time ago when we were in that Yahoo chat room. And that's when I met you. And then I would periodically call you throughout the year just to check on you, see how you're doing, you know, yell in your ear, CT, you know, and all that good stuff, because that's what I called you, you know. So I want you to tell Tess and the rest of the audience that haven't heard you before exactly, my brother, and I know it's a long list, what you do.
Okay, I'm
okay. Let's see. I am a musician, road musician, production producer, studio owner, radio station. I have a radio station, a record company, a production company. We do events and independent artists and stuff like that. Was on the road with a bunch of groups before, and I usually don't talk about myself as much, so I'm trying to learn how to do this.
Yeah, because you having a radio show and a radio station, you put other people on the spot, so when it's your turn, you know, you got to do the same thing, you know. I know it's hard for me, too.
You know how we do. It. I could do it to you, but I don't know about me getting it done to me, you know. You know, I'm used to putting people on the spot and getting their information out.
So yeah, it's tough to change chairs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Now, I got a question for you, bro, because the movie came out, the New Edition movie.
I know.
Which my cousin was in, played Jacob Dyson.
Jeff Dyson.
He played one of... Jeff Dyson. He played him, and that's my cousin.
Really?
Okay. He's got records out too, man. He does gospel music and everything. So he was in the movie as well, but he's in Hamilton right now. He's in the Chicago version of Hamilton out there in Chi-Town. My question for you, how did you feel about the movie? And I know, you know, you could tell the people if you want to what you did with New Edition back in the days, but I know you had to have some kind of, you know, opinion about the movie.
Well, the movie was entertaining. You know, I saw a lot of things in the movie. A lot of things that was in the movie happened, but it didn't happen in the timeline or the way that I remember it anyway. You know, but of course, you know, they do this stuff, you know, entertainment and things like that. And but it brought back a lot of memories and a lot of the fun days and stuff like that, which I'm just going to make some more fun days.
All right.
Now I want to get play one of your cuts, bro, because you gave me this is when you know you bad. You're a bad man. I asked you for 3 MP3s. You just gave me the site. Go on, man. Here's the albums. Just listen and pick some. What?
Cool.
So every one is a hit now that I picked. And I want to pick. The first one I want to play is I'm a Fool for You. You introduced this, CT, and tell us before I play.
Well, you know, I like to do productions and put music together and I sit here at 4 o'clock in the morning and do my own productions on my stuff. And basically it's just a song that I wrote demonstrating how I'm a fool for music and everything else, 'cause I won't quit.
Nice. This is called T. Smith, I'm a Fool for You. I'm a Fool for You, Carl T. Smith. I like that song, man. When I first jumped it, just to listen, I was like, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this for real.
Tess. I can listen to that all day long.
Y'all just saying that because I'm on the phone.
Not at all. Oh, my gosh. No. Carl, I'd be saying that if you were, like, in the next county, which I think you're actually a few states away, but that's good stuff.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Now, how do you come up with the inspiration for your songs? What do you use, brother? Let's talk technical on the production side, since you're a producer just like I am. What do you use and what kind of equipment do you use and like to use when you're in the studio?
Well, I came through that whole transition from recording, you know, from tape recorder to tape recorder to multi-tracks all the way through. So, of course, right now I'm using a computer. I use a computer with some software and MIDI everything. Use MIDI
right.
and program the whole nine yards and lay down, overlap the vocals. And sometimes I might get lucky enough to have somebody help me with some vocals. Hint, hint.
I know. Hey, matter of fact, since we're talking that, because that was deadly on my mind, I've been talking for years about doing some stuff with you. So let's do this, man. 10 tracks, you do 5 and I do 5. Now, I got about 4,000 tracks sitting over here. So I could pull out some music and listen to some beats, and then we just say, do you feel this one? You feel this one? You know, and if you feel it, you can write to it, then we go from there. You know what I mean?
No problem.
And any beat you got, I probably could write to, because I'm going to be honest. I can rap to opera if it got a little drum beat in it. Country.
Music. Now that I got
to hear. I can rip some classical music. I've done it before. So I'm just saying, you know how people are particular with their music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get some prima donnas in there, and it is like, I just can't do that kind of music. I got to have a certain flow. No, not for me. I could do it on any beat you want. If you got it, as long as it got a little drum beat, I can catch it. Yes, sir.
I want to hear that.
I'm serious. There's any kind of beat I can rap to, it doesn't matter to me, because I've been doing it a long time. But Carl, so when you find these artists, that I know you produce other artists, what are some of the qualities you look for, you know, trying to get people to sing over some of the music that you make?
Some of the stuff that I would look for, well, that's important to me, is first of all, singing in key. That is an important part that I look
You'd
for.
Think that
you know.
Wouldn't have to say that, but
I know. I have to say.
Yeah.
Singing in key is really important. Being able to count is extremely important too.
Yeah,
you know,
go.
And especially when you only need to count to 4. You know, that would be important.
Oh, Carl, you're cracking me up. You know, I have a degree in music, and I always said that I only needed to be able to count to 6, and that's as far as it went for me.
right.
6-8,
right.
But you know, just got to be. And then one more is just, you know how to feel a beat.
Yeah.
Sometimes
beat
that gets you know, don't know how to feel the beat. Don't know. They don't forget about knowing what a pocket is. Just you know, being able to feel a beat. You know,
really, really, yeah. And
I have
with
I'm playing with the beat. There you go.
Oh,
I may not
be like Tess. I don't have a degree in music, but after listening to all the music through the years. And different artists and doing music through the years, I feel like I have a mini certificate to know where people should land on different songs. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I mean, there are some people that think they're doing it and they're really out of pocket, out of key, and the whole thing is just terrible, in the words of Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so you guys aren't fans of auto-tune then, huh?
Oh, hell.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not against auto-tune when you want that effect, you know, that it gives. But
sure.
If you're going to do a production or, you know, or anything that you really have, there's certain stuff that stuff really works for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against any of that stuff. I don't dislike anything or any kind of music, or, you know, it's just that there are some things that have some places and some things, you know, some things don't.
I love that answer.
There's a lot of music now that's saturated with auto-tune. a whole lot.
That's it. That's the problem. Yeah, too much.
I mean, there are certain artists that I like. I like T-Pain with auto-tune because after you take it off him, he can still sing. I've heard him sing on different tracks without it. So that's the key. Cher uses auto-tune, but not as much. Not where you can hear it, you know, as overly produced out with it. I mean, overly in the track where it's just all the way turned all the way to full blast. Hers is in certain spots to make her sound and blend good with her music, like you were saying. So, yeah, I'm just not a fan of it because everybody does it.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess I don't have a problem with everybody doing it. You know, I guess the problem, if they're doing it a lot because they need it, you know, then take a couple of lessons or something. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
One of my friends that listened to the show, she said his voice is awfully sexy. Where is he from? So it's on you. I can say where you're from. I know. But go on, CT, where you're from.
Where am I from? Oh, I'm from. Yeah. I'm in New York. I'm a New Yorker. I'm from New York. Born and raised New Yorker.
Now the next track I want to play is Love Light.
Love Light, okay.
Yeah, go on and explain that one.
Love Light is a song that I wrote. I don't know. That was the first one. I think that's on the first CD. Stuff is pretty. It's been around for a little while. So, Love Light again. You know, just an idea, and I sit and throw some stuff together real quick, and throw an idea on top of it, and then kind of fill it up and then say, done. It's out.
Yeah. Here's right. Love Light.
You got me craving, baby, you got me wanting you.
You got me yearning, darling, I don't know what to do, baby. You got me craving, baby, you got me wanting you. You got me yearning, darling, I don't know what to do, baby.
ATAZP. I love that song too, CT, Love Light. I just skipped over a little bit and listened and went, yeah, I like that song. Tess, go on to talk to CT. Talk to CT.
I'm telling you, boy, that song, I was grooving all over the room up here.
Uh-oh. That's why my microphone was shaking all over the place. Okay.
That was it. That was it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tess.
Okay, I was just going to say that the instrumentation, the beat, the flow, oh, my God.
Thank you. We're trying. We're definitely trying.
Now the same person said he sings sexy, too, and tell him I said that. I'm
telling Thank you very much. Show you right.
I would completely agree with that.
Okay, CT. So what have you done? You know, new man. I mean, are you? What have you been doing? I mean, I have talked to you like off record. So we hit each other every now and then on Facebook. What has been new for Carl T. Smith?
Well, I'm just finishing up hooking up a new production studio so that I can start working on some artists and getting them a place for them to come and do some stuff, come to do their vocals and things like that. It's a really small production spot, but that's where I do my best stuff in small places and where I can touch the walls and get all the vibes and stuff off from all around. I have some events that's coming up. I'm working on some events. I will be in concert on April 29th in New York, April 29th in the Bronx here at a auditorium that I use a lot, which is Rafael Hernandez Auditorium. And I'm just playing for some people sometime. That's it.
How's the radio show doing?
Radio is good. 24/7 station is good. 24/7. I've been working on organizing my formats so that during certain times of the day, different kind of music would play. I mean, right now it just kind of plays a lot of different music, you know. Randomly, I have a show which I do on Monday nights at 10 o'clock, which is Touch of Fame. And what I really want to do is I gotta work on getting some artist interviews and some co-hosts and building that up so that I can really, really promote these independent artists, you know. And then on Saturday on the station, I think between 7 and 11. Simulcast with a friend of mine. She has a station out in Maryland, which she does interviews and plays independent artists also. So,
right.
And then I'm looking for all other other stations like ours to connect with to swap some time slots so that we can promote these independent artists and get everybody heard.
Right, right. I understand, brother. Also,
Carl,
give out
ever,
that info. Go on, Tess.
I was just going to ask, Carl, have you ever found somebody that you're really excited about? I mean, really excited about.
Yeah, I have. Matter of fact, I have a I have some artists that I've recorded already. That, and this has been a while back, that they haven't. They each of them have an album that no one has heard, and I think that the stuff on that is still good. And I was definitely real excited about that. And then I've heard some other artists that I hear them and I go, okay, you know, a little bit of chords over here and a little bit of this and a little bit of Taz auto-tune, and maybe we could do something.
Carl, I want you to give your information out so people can hit you up as always. And I want to be back on the radio station and have one of those musical talks we had a couple of years back with a couple of musical other brothers that was on the line, and we did that. I did one show and gave opinion about music.
Mm-hmm. I want to do that on a regular basis. I want to develop a show, you know, around that, around, you know, trying to become successful in whatever. I would love to have that on a regular basis, you know, on the station, in the time slot, you know, because I think there's a lot of information that we don't get and people don't share, and here's a chance to do it.
Now, what's your information? Yeah.
Right. You can catch me on, well, definitely you can catch me on Facebook. You can go by my Facebook page, which is Carl T. Smith. Carl T. Smith Live on Facebook, or you can search me. The Smooth One, Carl T. Smith. You can definitely do that. You can go to smoothone.com, which is my website, which I got to do some work on. You can definitely, Carl T. Smith on Twitter, but I touch that every once in a while. Definitely, you can get me there, and then you can send you can email me at thesmoothone@excite.com. That's I'm sorry. That's an old one. It's CT Smooth One now. CT Smooth One at excite.com. That's CTSMOOTH, @excite.com. Yeah, you can get me at any one of those things. Easiest thing to remember is just smoothone.com, and everything will be there.
All right.
Well, CT, it was good having you on the show, my brother. We're going to connect again because we got to talk about them five joints and also talk about the conversation on your radio station as well. Also talk about Ro. We got to get Ro to call you. She got hurt recently and broke a couple
really?
Of bones. Yeah. So you need to hit her up on Facebook because she was hurt just a couple of days ago. But, yeah, we all get to connect. And again, thank you for coming in. This was Carl T. Smith, the Smooth One. What is your favorite saying? Can't kill it.
And it won't die.
Yeah. Yeah, that's your thing. I wrote a song called that, Can't Kill It and Won't Die, in honor of Carl. Thank you again, my brother, for being on.
Thank you.
Okay, we got 719.
How's it going, y'all?
Tony Exum Jr., the coolest name, one of the coolest names in music. How you been, brother? It's been a long time, man.
It has, man. It's been a while. It's been a while. How you been? I've been all right.
I've been good. I want to introduce you to Tess. Tess Wigginton is on the line. Tess, this is Tony XM Jr. You know so many names.
How you doing, Tess?
Tess, you on the line?
I am.
Okay, we didn't hear you at first. Go on, say something.
Okay, sorry. Tony, it's my honor to meet you. I'm really excited. I love your music.
Oh, thank you so much. So much. Pleasure to meet you as well.
Yeah, I sent her your Facebook page so she could check you out before the show.
Okay.
And
Cool.
She was loving it. That, she was loving it from the beginning. She had told me that. I want you to explain to people what you do, my brother, and as a matter of fact, I can't wait to play some of these tracks. So hurry up and say what you do, brother.
Well, I'm a national jazz artist, smooth jazz artist, whatever you want to call it, based out of Colorado. I'm from Colorado Springs by way of New Orleans originally. I'm a saxophone player and been kind of, I won't say kind of, but I've been growing on the national scene for about 5 or 6 years now and getting ready to release a third CD. I have two albums out. I've worked with everybody from Julian Vaughn to Najee to Dave Hollister, Samson Four Tops, the Manhattan, who else? Nicole Leone, Pamela Williams. Great, you know, wide range of really, really talented people I've been blessed to work with. And so just still here trying to, you know, make it happen.
Man, you making it happen. This first track, because I want to hear this track. Normally when, you know, people send me stuff, I don't hear it. And I didn't hear this. But the title, and I think you know what I'm talking about. It is called Your Eyes, Your Lips, Your Smile, and the way, this is the title of the song, and the way he spells your is you are. So it's you are eyes, E-Y-S-E, man, come on, your lips and your smile. I'm feeling this
play
whole,
on words.
Yeah, I'm feeling this whole, and I do it too on the name of my song, so that's why I was loving it straight up, and I want to play it, explain it before I rip it, man.
No, that's it, man. I'm glad you caught on to that. Nobody else has, actually. So you're paying attention, bro. I appreciate
this
it.
This is what that's what I do. Name titles crazy. Yeah, that's the way I do it. So I'm gonna play it, and then we'll talk about it at the end. Also, I see CT is still on the line, so I'll bring you back, CT, after the song rips. This is Your Eyes,
right.
Your Lips, Your Smile, Tony Exum Jr.
Thank you.
I wait for a whole lot of audience to go, yeah, yeah. That was hitting, brother. Go on, Tess.
Wow.
And Tess, you can say what you got to say to Tony about that track. And then CT, I see you on the line. You can talk to Tony as well. Here we go. Go on, Tess.
Tony, holy God, damn, boy.
Well, thank you,
sweetheart.
You know what?
Those vocals, that little bit of arrhythmia there, the little bit of syncopation, man, did that add. I love it.
You know, I thank you for that because originally, if I remember correctly, it was going to be all instrumental. I think when I was in the studio, I remember singing that hook to the producer, and then he brought in some of our friends. One of them was his cousin, had them lay the vocals down. And when I finally got the later on that night, he said, "Here's what we did." I was blown away. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Because like, this is going to be a favorite on this album because it just, especially over that bridge, that wasn't there either, and that's something he came up with.
Oh, wow.
You know, so then I went back and changed. Changed my everything that I was going to do based on what they did. So I actually went back and recut the whole song. So
really,
you know, it was yeah. I don't even know what happened to the original version of that song, but the melody changed. Mm-hmm. Everything I did was different once they put their vocals down. It just
because Tony, you can't have the backgrounds outdo you. You the star on the track.
No.
But yeah,
no.
I understand. I would have went back too. CT.
Yeah. That was a fantastic job. Definitely enjoyed every lick and melody and tone of that whole thing.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I really do.
Now, Tony, I want to know how you first began. Of course, I know. I asked that on the last show many moons ago, but these are two other people that's listening in. And plus, the other person I'm talking to that's listening online, she said you are nice. She loved the song, too. Can you tell us how you began and when you first started?
Yeah. I think I was about 11 or 12. When I first started playing the saxophone, initially, I was raised between, you know, having a military stepfather. I lived a few places, but I would spend my summers here in Colorado. And my mom's brother, his name was Larry Francis Jr., he was a saxophonist in the Army Band when they had the Army Band in Fort Carson, Colorado. And he was, you know, extremely talented, in high demand at the time. And I kind of watched him, you know, growing up become, you know, a great musician. And so when it was time for me to choose, you know, an instrument, of course, when you get into sixth or seventh grade and band is an option, naturally wanting to be like him, I chose a saxophone. So that's kind of where my journey started. And I wasn't formally trained. You know, I paid attention in class, of course, but I didn't really take any formal lessons. Very much self-taught until college. And I attended University of Denver, Lamont School of Music, under some great professors of not only saxophone, but of music in general. And my professional career kind of started early. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought, you know, I'll go to college, you know, get out, and then I'll start gigging, and then I'll start recording. But it just so happened that, you know, some of my uncle's old buddies from back when he was playing were still recording and releasing music. And I ended up doing studio work at the age of 18. I don't know how many demos I played on, or, you know, back then you didn't have, you know, you couldn't put out CDs. You had to make tapes, you know, it's the early mid 90s. So I was just a kid out there trying to hang with these grown men, and, you know, understand and hear and try to develop, you know, my own voice on the saxophone, but just understanding the music. And so I was able to gain a lot of experience and a lot of a wealth of knowledge from those times in the studio with those musicians. I don't know where a lot of that music ended up, you know, to be honest with you, but that added to the journey. I started playing professionally in clubs about, you know, typically 20, 21 years old, and I had the distinct honor of opening up for a lot of different acts that were coming to Colorado Springs, because, you know, a lot of black music wasn't coming to Colorado Springs that often. It was always Denver and, believe it or not, Pueblo, which is south of us. But a couple of promoters brought, like, the Shy Lights and the Delphonics, and I opened up for them, and then I played with the Shy Lights later on that night with my uncle.
Okay.
Which was really cool, you know. So then when that happened, matter of fact, I did a tribute to Grover Washington Jr. because he had just passed away. And that kind of really opened up my mind to what I was able to do as a solo artist, although I didn't pursue it until years later. And then I ended up working with the Manhattans like 6 months later and doing a short little tour with the Sonny Bibbins version of the Manhattans. And, you know, just playing around town and working with a lot of different bands in Colorado. And when people would come in, a lot of times I'd be the opener, you know. And so I haven't had the distinction of working with Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review around the same time, and Jeffrey Osborne and people like that, you know. So the experience started to grow.
Yeah, with the soul and the funk mixed together. I can understand you learning from them cats, getting your soul base together right then at a young
exactly.
age.
You know, I'm very much rooted in, you know, that, you know, the R&B thing. So, you know, it just seemed to me, it seemed like my career was just kind of leaning in that direction, not necessarily something that I would have chosen or, you know, personally directed myself on that path. It just kind of happened that way. And, of course, when you're trying to be a professional, you take as many different experiences as you possibly can. So the cool thing was, you know, in working with all those guys, you know, I was learning how to be an entertainer. I was learning how to perform, how to engage a crowd, how to, you know, play and hear all this big music. So as years went on, I decided to finally, you know, step out of that as a smooth jazz thing started to grow, I kind of felt like I was lagging behind because I'm playing in all these cover bands and, yeah, I get featured, but, you know, you get tired of playing Brick House, man, after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Skin Tight. And Brick House and Skin
yeah.
Tight.
Yeah, I
and
can see
My
that.
My Girl and Back to Skin Tight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And, you know, a couple top 40s, This Is How We Do It, and Back to Skin Tight, you know. So I said, okay, if I don't get out of this, oh, then if you're the sax player, you get to play Mr. Magic or Ascension or something. Friends and
yeah.
Strangers, maybe, but... You know, so I was like, you know, I need to get away from this. If I think I'm going to have a career, I'm going to have to make a decision. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I stepped away from it. I walked away from all the cover bands, all the weekend money, and put my own band together. And just so happened that my drummer was a talented producer. He still is. Matter of fact, he's now playing keys for and producing for Selena Albright, which is Gerald Albright's daughter, who's an incredible
right.
vocalist. He just did her
yeah.
current album that's blown up all over the place, and then he did my first album back in 2010
okay.
and writing for some other artists. So that was kind of my foray into the smooth jazz world, and I really started the solo career, if you want to call it that, about that time. And the album, the song you just heard, came out a few years later on my second album. And between, you know, 2011-2014, I was touring a lot, and you know, getting that national exposure and just, you know, doing what does indie artists do, you know, that grind, as we call it, you know, playing small clubs, playing comedy shows, getting the occasional festival gig, opening up for this person, playing saxophone for another smooth jazz artist. You know, I've worked with Julian Vaughn on that level. You know, he's the guy who produced the track that you just heard, the bassist Julian Vaughn, who's an incredible musician.
And it's better having,
it's better having your
own music, too. It's better having your own music,
like,
playing your own music in front of a crowd
absolutely.
Instead of top 40 stuff, asking
absolutely.
You to play
and, you
Reasons
know,
live and all that. So, you know.
Right. You know, and even now with my show, there's still, you know, your number of cover tunes in there. But there's nothing like playing your stuff to an enthusiastic crowd of people that know your music and are willing to buy it once they hear it. You know, there's no better feeling in the world. You know, depending on the environment of the venue, you know, you have to kind of play songs that people know just to kind of, it's
yeah.
like a bridge, you know. Your music's
sure.
over here, but what they know is on this side. So you bring them to this side and say, I can give you something you're familiar with, but come with me across this bridge real quick to my music.
Yeah.
And a lot of times
so
you can get them, you know, with the cover tune, then you got them in the palm of your hands, and then that's when you sneak in those originals. And usually almost every time, if they enjoy you, they fall right into it, and so you're able to share your music with them, you know, from there on out. So that's kind of what I still do to this day.
And the song,
I love to hear that.
The song "Dance Close to Me," explain that so I can rip it. So you can drop us over the bridge into some funk. So.
Yeah, man. I think I got you now. So now you're going to come into my town. See, your eyes are literally small, brought you to the city limits. But now I'm going to bring you to Tony Town real quick. No, I'm just joking.
Nice.
this song, you know, this was given to me. This was a blessing. This was an absolute blessing. David P. Stevens is doing his thing in the smooth jazz world. They call him Mr. Guitar. He is an absolutely incredible individual, first and foremost. On top of that, he's a great producer, great songwriter, and an amazing guitarist based out of Philadelphia. And he's on that same indie grind that I am, you know, just getting out there the best way he can. And so we've been wanting to work together for years. And he said, man, I got this song for you. It's yours. You know, check it out. So he sent me the track. I was like, yo, you saying I can write something to this? Or we can? So initially it was going to be just my song, but he did such an amazing job. I said, let's make this into a duet, you know, and show some solidarity, you know, in that, and let me feature you on this track as opposed to just me playing all the parts. So, you know, it just lended itself to a guitar sax kind of a thing, and that's why I let him play first on the track, because, you know, he's really growing. But, you know, a lot of people, when we were first working on the song, weren't quite sure who he was, and he was still kind of new, and I thought, well, my fan base is kind of established, you know, let them hear you first on the track and kind of save me for the second verse. And it's got that nice, you know, two-step vibe to it. This is a song you can put a dance routine to, you know, for step class or whatever. You know,
well,
it's got that nice, you know, good summertime, feel-good music, and that's what I like to do.
I hadn't heard it yet, but I'm getting ready to now. This is Tony XM Jr., Dance Close to Me. My friend said this is a nice too as well. This track was, I love it too.
Cool.
Who did the background singing on it?
That's actually David.
Okay, cool. Man, you're gonna have to hook me up with his website or his link so I can check him out. I'll probably have him on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely get him on the show. He's a good guy and, you know, very talented musician and has great music as well. So I was very honored to do that single with him.
Tess?
Yeah.
You can tell Tony what...
Tony, I was listening to that song at work today.
Oh, okay.
I have to tell you, you have to understand, I work at a little oil company in rural Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the attention that it got as people were walking past my office. They're poking their heads in going, what are you listening to? And I said, Tony Exum, look him up. I loved it.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sure. That means a lot. I appreciate that. You know, that's what we want. You know, we just want to reach as many different people as we can. And little things like that, you know, can make a difference. So I really appreciate that. I'm very honored right now. Very honored that you would
share that. Tony, do you play all different kinds of saxes? Do you prefer one over the other, like soprano or, you know?
You know, soprano seems to be the one that kind of gives me that distinguishing characteristic from other saxophone players. But to be honest with you, I like playing and do play, you know, the primary three, which is, you know, soprano, alto, and tenor. But the soprano is like my, I guess if you want to call it that, like the secret weapon. That's the one that tends to, if I haven't got your attention with the other horns, I'll get you with that one. And I don't know what that is, why I have this natural thing for the soprano, but you know, everybody's always telling me, man, the soprano is your instrument. And a lot of my peers in the business, you know, they guys like Will Donato and Eric Darius and Marcus Anderson, like, yeah, man, you know, you're a great player, but when you get on that soprano, man, it's something else. So I just tend to have a natural affinity for it for whatever reason.
Sure.
And CT. CT. You're not going to tell Tony how you like that track.
Wonderful track, man. Wonderful track. Matter of fact, I could tell it's a wonderful album. Definitely enjoy it. I got to go check it out and look it up, and hopefully I can get some of your stuff on my station.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'd love to hear anything that you think will fit.
What I'll do is I'll suggest you guys as friends on Facebook, and y'all go from there.
Okay.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Everybody. Also, Tony, I want you to give your information out so people can hit you up, buy the CD, find out how they can get the CD.
Okay, sure. My website is TonyExumJr.com, and all of my music is available on my website as well as my schedule and, you know, information about me and how to book me or what have you. You can also find me, of course, on social media. Tony Exum Jr. Music is my official fan page, music page on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter, MISTEREXUM, and on Instagram at TXM Jr. And I have a couple of Facebook pages. I'm working on the third because those are filling up. I think I'm almost at the limit on both of them. So
that's how you do it. That's
page.
How you do it.
You know.
That's how you do it. You're a star.
I'm working on that. You know, it's kind of cool, you know, but it's like I'm kind of backed up on some of my friend requests because of that. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, create a third page and make it work, you know. But for now, you know, hit me on my music page. So go to Tony Exum Jr. Music because that official fan page, I can fit as many people as I'd like. So, you know, CT, if you could like me on there too, that's a good way to connect with me as well. And I'll make sure I get all my music to you. That'd be great.
Yeah, so, we'll do.
You know, then you can also, I'm thinking about some of this other stuff. I'm not doing the Snapchat thing yet, but I'm on the Marco Polo. So if you want to send me a nice video text, you can do that. Let's see what else. I'm still on Reverb Nation as well, too. I mean, that's a good resource to meet a lot of fans and other indie artists. So I'm also on Reverb Nation. So
Reverb Nation. Are you on SoundCloud?
Yeah, I'm on SoundCloud, too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, you can find it. Yeah. So you can find all the music on both of those pages as well. Both albums and the single Dance Close are on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation also.
For you and CT and even for Tess, I'm on about 9 or 10 different music sites. And the more music sites you have out there, the more opportunity for people to reach out and touch you. I'm on number1music.com, and I got over 6,000 plays in like 3 months. So, I mean, the more you're out there, the more people reach out and hit you up. I'm just, you know, I'm just throwing out that information just to be throwing it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the more you know,
it's you never know where you meet people or who's listening. You know, I mean, Tessa's story today, that just blows me away because you just don't know. You assume, or you get caught up in what you see directly when you're on Facebook and who interacts with you the most, but you have no idea how with the internet how many fans you have, you know, on a global scale. And even nationally, and I've run into people in the strangest places saying, yeah, I like your music. I've been listening to you since you first came out. You're thinking, huh? Well, I found you on Facebook, or I heard this interview, and, you know, you're like, oh, wow. And you live where? Oh, I live in Croatia. Oh, well, thank you.
Alrighty then.
You know?
Wow.
So, Tess, thank you for that. That means a lot. It really does. It really does.
And my pleasure.
I've been on SecondLife.com. And made an avatar of myself, and you can put as much information under your avatar as you want to, and you're in the world. I met people from Spain, from also from Australia, New Zealand. People just hit me up and listen to the music sites that I put under my avatar, and they go to my iTunes or whatever and buy my music. That's another good way to get yourself out there. But you got to participate. You actually got to make an avatar of yourself, hit these different clubs that's in the world. I go to the churches in the world, the casinos in this Second Life world online. So I'm not a promoter of it, but it does help people around the world know your music, because when you type in English, it goes in their language and it bounces back in English to you.
Really?
Yeah, I've been on there for about 10 years. And I go to jazz clubs. That's all I do. I go meet my friends in the world and go to a jazz club and just hang out listening to jazz, because they play a lot of good stuff in there too, boy. So I listen and I sit there and just listen. And sometimes somebody asks your avatar to dance. I go out to the dance floor with my avatar and dance with them. So it's secondlife.com. I'm just letting y'all know. I've done that and been doing it for years, networking that way. It's a fun way.
I didn't know that was still around.
Oh, yeah, it's still around.
Wow.
And and they develop new rooms and new clubs all the time. And also I hang out in the hip-hop clubs as well. So, but I'm going to leave you. We're done with the show. This will be on the after show when the link loads back up and everybody will be able to hear this ending after 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They'll be able to hear what we're talking about now. I'm going to leave with an old Tony XM song, "Can't Stand the Rain."
Even though it's
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
I want to thank Tess Wigginton for being in here, co-hosting with me, Carl T. Smith, CT, for actually co-hosted and being a guest, and Tony XM Jr. for being a guest. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
TAZ, I loved it.
Hey,
all right.
I tried to told you, Tess. That's my getaway. I tried to told you.
And you did.
Can you stand the rain?